City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, August 8th, and we're in the studios here at Dakota Media Access. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and it's a Mandan City Current. So City Administrator Jim Neubauer is here.
Thank you, Mary. It's a gorgeous day outside today, isn't it?
Good morning, yes. You had a long commission meeting last night, probably one of the longest you've had in quite a while. There was a lot of content.
Yeah, I think we went till after 8 o'clock last night, which is unusual, but a lot of good topics, a lot of good discussion on last night. So
and progress moving forward.
Yeah, good public input.
Yeah. And another meeting for you this morning at 7 a.m. meeting with your West End Development Group, who's hit the ground running, and they're already moving forward on some ideas. So, but let's talk about the City Commission meeting last night. One of the things that happened in under the consent agenda, or excuse me, under bids, is a project we've talked about probably for a good year, longer maybe, is this 30-inch transmission line, water line in North Mandan.
Yep. You know, I think our viewers and our audience members have heard us talk about this before. Like you said, City of Mandan has a 30-inch transmission line that runs from our water treatment plant and moves water up to the Collins, not the Collins Avenue Reservoir, but the Sunset Drive Reservoir, which is up on Old Red Trail, which we've kind of said before, that's a goofy name. But yeah. This is a transmission line that is roughly probably 30 to 40 years old. We know it's been on our replacement hit list for many years. The 2016, 2017, we had some breaks, which always happen at the least opportune time, like right before winter, and become expensive to fix. So we thought, all right, we're moving it up, and let's get this thing fixed before we have additional breaks.
And this is a shared cost between the State Water Commission and the City of Mandan. They're taking on the state about 60% to 40%?
Yep. Roughly, we have applied for a grant from the State Water Commission. And again, what we estimated to be about a $5.4 or $5.6 million project, you know, 60% of that will be funded through the State Water Commission, 40% local. So, you know, we're appreciative of the Water Commission in assisting with this project. We received bids a couple of weeks ago and awarded bids last night on the transmission line replacement.
And the good news was?
Good news is that I think we saved about 25% on the, which amounts to, you know, close to $1 million on the engineer's estimate versus what the bids came in.
That's a substantial amount of money.
Several bidders. So they were very competitive. The two low bidders were within $30,000, $40,000 of each other on a $3.2, $3.3 million install. And so we're really pleased with that, and we'll save, you know, citizens of Mandan a little bit of money.
So the project will start after the peak watering season of the summer for residents. After that, then they'll start breaking ground on this project.
Right. We will, you know, we'll get contractor on board, and they'll see if we can get some work done this fall yet, and then we'll move into next spring and hopefully complete it by, you know, if we're looking at September, October of 2019.
So what you're doing also in the construction, as I understand, you're laying new pipe adjacent to the old pipe, so there's really not much disruption, if any, at the end maybe. Something like that is you turn the switch.
Yep, connections that need to be made, but you don't take new pipe and attach it to old pipe and then move on to the next.
Sure.
What you do is you lay pipe right next to the old pipe and you move along. So there's some easements that need to be dealt with and things like that. And we're, like I said, we're very pleased with the bids that came in, and it's a pretty competitive environment out there for work.
Good.
So I think we bid the project at the right time. And like I said, we'll get moving on that as soon as possible.
Taxpayers get that advantage of some of these projects. We hear a lot of the bids coming in for various projects for city or county.
Yeah, the last couple of times we awarded two street improvement bids, where I think we're 17, 18% under engineer's estimate. And this one was well under, I think, 20%. So we're, whether the engineers are estimating high and the bids are coming in under that, but like I said, we think that in looking at the bid prices, we think that we're things are going pretty well.
All right. Well, we'll watch the progress as it starts and
breaking ground. We'll probably talk about it again.
Yes. Maybe we'll have some pictures the next time as well. On your consent agenda last night was a DOT engineering reimbursement agreement. It had to do with Mandan Avenue in 1806 North.
Right. We've been, this is another project that, you know, it's interesting. We talk about them for a couple years before you actually get, I like to call it shovels in the ground.
Yeah.
So right now we have, along with the North Dakota Department of Transportation and Federal Highway Administration, they've selected KLJ as an engineering firm, and this involves the reconstruct of Old Red Trail, in essence, between the refinery, Endeavor Refinery, and the intersection of Collins Avenue and Highway 1806. And then it does some improvements between that intersection, moving north on 1806 to, I believe, 27th Street, which involves some turnouts and initial room so that, you know, North Mandan is growing incredibly fast. And, you know, there's a two-lane state highway there, and we need some places for folks to be able to turn. And like I said, this will involve some reconstruction activities there.
So is this in the design phase at this point, Jim?
As the engineering firm was just selected, they are working on the plans as we so speak. And we would look for this project to be shovels in the ground in 2020.
Okay.
That's so it'll take a while to get this one in the books.
And we'll talk about it again.
Absolutely.
I'm sure. Well, what took up the bulk of the meeting last night, or a large part of the meeting, was under new business, was discussion about the vicious animal ordinance, which unfortunately the city has in front of it right now because of an unfortunate incident, I should say, a horrific incident that happened to a family, a mother and a daughter, a few weeks ago. So this has raised this issue and brought it to the commission.
Right. No, Commissioner Rohr had asked for this to be on the agenda and talk about, are there, you know, for one, the public input last night was, you know, I can't say enough. It's a very emotionally charged issue, and everyone was very respectful of one another.
There are certainly
different sides and different opinions on both sides of this issue. Everyone made very eloquent and made their case for what they thought should be done. The commission brought it to the table to say, all right, let's take a look at what ordinances we have for vicious animals, not just dogs. It's a vicious animal ordinance, and should we make some changes to it?
And there was some discussion and some touching on the fact of breed specific. This was a attack by two pit bulls, so the focus, there was some focus on that, but I don't think that was necessarily the direction. As the discussion went on and there was more testimony, a vicious animal is a vicious animal regardless of the breed, and it really has to do with a lot more with the owners than it does the breed.
I would agree with that it's a lot of owner responsibility, and like I said, good discussion on both sides, whether it should there be a ban on certain breeds of animals in town versus, you know, what we have right now. And this was brought up many, many years ago. Should it be breed specific, or should it be just any animal, whether you have a German Shepherd or a Lab or Golden Retriever, can be vicious, not just a pit bull or a Rottweiler. So a lot of discussion kind of focused and went back and forth on what should be done. I think that gives the commission the opportunity and the public an opportunity to look at what we have on the books. Should we have stricter leash laws? Should there be, you know, if we have today on the books, you can have your dog on a 12-foot leash, should that be only 6 feet? A lot of folks have the retractable leash so the dog can go kind of scoot out in front of you, and you can hit the leash and they'll come back. Is that too generous? You know, should that be shortened down to 6? Should there be different containment, which you can call containment whatever you want? I like to think of it as the fence. Should you have a fence around your yard if you have a dog, no matter what breed you have? Or a lot of folks have the underground wire
in,
and then they have a collar on the dog so that the dog knows when to stop. Those seem to be pretty effective, but, you know, I don't think anything is 100%.
So, and along with the review of the existing ordinance and seeing if that needs to be tweaked or changed, there comes the enforcement issue that has to go along with it. If you have to be able to enforce it to to make it have some teeth, so to speak.
Right. You can put all the laws on the books that you want, but if they are not enforceable, then they really don't mean much.
Right.
So that's the part that we'll have to consult with law enforcement and see. You know, we've got dog park in town where people can bring their animals and
off-leash.
And sometimes, you know, we've had some comments to say we should separate that into have a small dog area and a large dog area. You know, maybe that's a suggestion that can come out of here. Or should you have your dog on a leash no matter if you're in that park or not?
And there was also some discussion about along with enforcement and fines and what the punishment would be for the violation of these ordinances. And I think that's a interesting point that Mr. Geiger brought forward, and this was his daughter who was attacked. And, you know, he basically said, if this was, if I had created this damage to a child, I would be put away. I would be locked up for a considerable period of time. So the existing law doesn't seem to necessarily fit the crime if a vicious animal attacks.
I think it's a Class B misdemeanor, which can be punishable up to, I think, the max allowed on that is a $1,500 fine. Like Mr. Geiger said, if he had done this to another human being, he would be locked up probably for a long time. With the animal, it's not that way. So, again, very good points were brought up last night. And like I said, I think people did them in a very respectful manner.
And he was, Mr. Geiger, again, I think was very composed and made a good point on many levels, but particularly when he said there's a difference between a dog bite and a dog attack.
Yes.
And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. You know, a nip on your ankle is a little different than what happened to his family. And he also had some powerful images that he shared. And they helped tell a story. And, you know, you and I talked earlier about the appropriateness of those images. And I think that they're very appropriate to show to help demonstrate what he was trying to get across. And for us to understand the impact of what happened to his family. And I also appreciate the mayor taking a moment during that testimony last night while he was showing some of the pictures to just hesitate, take the picture off. And the mayor took an opportunity to let our listening audiences know that these images are pretty graphic.
Right.
If there were children or anyone sensitive in the room, that was viewing the meeting or will be viewing this meeting, to please, you know, remove them from the room, because they are real, they're the truth, and they may upset some people. So I really appreciated the mayor taking that in that moment to do that.
Absolutely, and Mayor Helbling did a very nice job last night. And like I said, we had not seen those images before the meeting, so we weren't sure what they were. And when Mayor Helbling said, okay, let's, in essence, take a time out, and say, if you have small children, or even if you're an adult, they were difficult to look at. And so we'd also make that known to anyone who's listening or watching this, that if you get to that point and watching the recorded version,
we will replay this meeting up until your next city commission meeting. So it'll appear on our channels up until, you know, next couple of weeks. So keep that in mind as well. Yep. And it is available online if people want to hear the testimony. Again, really valuable input, I think. The bottom line was the commission took all the input and are now going to continue to review the ordinances, take additional input, and come back at a future meeting yet to be scheduled.
Correct. The commission did not set a date when this is going to come back. So I think it'll be at least it might be 30 days or so. And we'll take a look at what some other communities are doing in this area and bring it back to the commission at a time when we've had some time to kind of do some further research. Last night was more of a let's hear what the public has to say. And we'll take that under advisement. And if they're, we'll see what everybody else is doing, because this is a very emotionally charged issue.
Yeah.
Right now, and we want to make sure what's done is correct.
Well, and I think the other thing that was acknowledged last night that was interesting, it was towards the end of this discussion, was it is difficult for the public, for people who aren't experienced, to come to a public meeting, especially one that's being televised and recorded, to give testimony on something that might be very emotional to them. So just, I think we need to mention that you're always getting input from the public, and that availability is on your website.
Right.
Your phone numbers are there. Your emails, if you want to provide a comment, you can always go to the cityofmandan.com.
Yep, absolutely.
And continue to provide input on this particular issue.
Yep. I know that I had received a couple of emails from folks that wanted to know about when this is going to come up on the commission meeting and provided some input on what they thought should be done. And we shot that out to our commissioners, and we'll continue to do so. So if you want to make comments to me, you can find my email address on our webpage. All the commissioners have their telephone numbers and email addresses on our webpage. Get a hold of everyone. We gather those comments up and provide them, you know, to all of the commissioners. It just doesn't go to one. It goes to all of them.
I see those in your agenda packets.
Yep.
They're thick agenda packets,
yes.
And they have all that information. And we'll move on to other items. Last night, this was very important. I think we just want to end with one thing, and that is talking about the Geiger family.
Correct.
I did notice that they have a GoFundMe page for, I think you can just search under the GoFundMe page. I don't know the exact address, but Faith Geiger,
correct.
Mandan, North Dakota, all those things will get you to their particular page. They do have some major medical expenses coming up, so if people want to contribute to help them out, that would be a nice thing to do.
Yep, and I know that members of our police department had gone over to the hospital and visited Faith, and we had checked with their parents to make sure that that would be appropriate. And like I said, our prayers are with them, because this is a horrific thing that happened. And very powerful testimony last night, powerful images, and emotionally charged. And we want to make sure that we take the time to adequately address the situation.
Okay, and you'll bring this all back, and whatever meeting some action is taken, we'll be able to report back on that. So that's great. Also, under new business, we get into the budget. I mean, it's that time of year, and the Morton Mandan Public Library brought their budget forward, as did the Airport Authority for Mandan. So they were both presented separately last night.
Two entities that you and I talked earlier about. Why does the airport and why does the library bring their budgets up separately to us? And the reasons are that the Morton Mandan Public Library has a separate board of trustees that are appointed by the city commission. They develop a budget. They submit that budget to the city commission for their approval. And Jackie did a great job last night of our library director of presenting that budget. And the board, approved the as presented, and also the Mandan Airport Authority, that is a separate board appointed again by the city commission.
Okay.
And in turn, we have a liaison, Commissioner Mike Brown, sits on the Mandan Airport Authority, and we also have a representative on the Mandan Public Library Board of Trustees. They are the liaison, so they have an idea on what's going on. The airport presented their budget last night, and if you watch, you'll see some. They do a nice job of normally it's Dr. Klein, who used to be on the Mandan Airport Authority, will fly around town and take some pretty good aerial shots, and so they present that along with here's development that's going on in town, so pretty cool stuff, and also here's what we have upcoming plans for the library and their request and for the city to levy 4 mills on their behalf to help support the library.
So that
help,
move
help
forward.
Help support the airport.
That move forward as well.
Correct.
All right. And then Ellen Huber, your development director, brought forth a project that you guys have been talking about for a couple of years anyway, and that is the redevelopment of the city's website.
Right. We have lots of people that go on the website to look for a lot of information, and we think it's pretty user-friendly, but sometimes you need a refresh, and that's what we'll be doing. And we had submitted proposals out there for folks to bid on. We've done some work of late to clean up our web page, and a lot of older material we have taken off because it costs more money to keep more items out there. But like I said, so if you go to the cityofmandan.com, the look and feel of that website, we will get a refresh and a redo. And
everybody needs a redo once in a while, right?
It's a good thing to take a look at. We continuously update.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to call it a makeover, you're welcome to do that. But the pictures will be updated. The look will be updated. Gov Office is our current contractor that provides that service to us.
And they'll continue.
And they will continue to do that.
We have that for those people who are watching on our channels, cityofmandan.com. The existing website is up there right now. And I will say I find it pretty easy to navigate. And I think that's always your number one goal is to be able to navigate a website.
You can navigate.
There's a lot of information.
You can find what you're looking for without having to click 15 times.
Yeah.
That's kind of the goal.
Absolutely.
We like to click once, twice, or three times. If we get up to, you know, five clicks and we're probably not organizing it as well as we could.
So I'm assuming that that is still your priority goal is to keep it navigable.
Yes. And informative, and people can, like I said, if it's useful and we can provide the public for as much information as we can. If you have any suggestions, you know, again, let us know.
Sure.
And we'll be working on
and
that
Ellen's
over the next
working
few months.
With a few, your IT director and a few other people obviously are driving this along with the department heads. And she mentioned that it might be the end of the year.
It might
be completely revamped and ready to go.
We'll be working, like you said, with all of our department heads and things like that. And we do that on a continuous basis to say, okay, go out and look at if it's the water treatment plant. Is the information we have out there up to date and relevant?
Yes, yeah.
So
they have to make a contribution, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll watch for that, and it'll get be navigable, but yet modern and modernized and more attractive
as it goes.
That's what makeovers are supposed to do, right? Right?
We hope so.
Also under new business, you had a couple of DOT projects that are moving forward, and your city engineer, Justin Froseth, brought these forward, and they needed a final approval from the commission last night. One of them received quite a bit of discussion, and that had to do with the signal updates on Main Avenue itself.
Yep.
There's a few different intersections that are going to be replaced. The signals will actually just be completely replaced.
Signals, if folks remember, Main Street was reconstructed probably 25, 30 years ago. The signals were redone at that point in time. What we have been finding over the last few years is that getting parts and getting the signals to talk to each other so that they're synchronized is becoming a challenge for us. We had put in, as one of our projects, Federal Highway and DOT and the city contribute to replacing those signals. I believe there are six of them between 6th Avenue Southeast, which if you're familiar with the Senex intersection and I think Captain Jack's, from that point on to the west, all of those signals would be replaced. When DOT did their study, found that two signals, the one at 1st Avenue Northwest and the one at 10th Avenue Northwest, are not warranted.
Which, according to their criteria,
wasn't justified. Federal Highway's criteria, they're not justified. Therefore, in order to accept the replacement of the four warranted signals, you have to give up the two that are not warranted.
And that's where the discussion really kind of fell into was those two particular signal areas that will be lost.
Yep. We
one in particular, which is the furthest west, which traditionally has slowed down traffic that's coming into the west end of Maine. Is that?
That's true. And that is the one we're having some heartburn over.
Okay.
Is that the familiar with the TP Motel? And if you're heading south to Highway 6, that is that intersection. And we look at that as signalized intersection there slows down the traffic coming from the west, which obviously there's a lot of truck traffic coming down. And once you hit and go through that signal, you are then going down a hill. The next item on our agenda was the kind of shrinking of...
Related
to this is Main Street and the area between 6th Avenue and Collins Avenue going from four lanes to three lanes with the additional south side of Main Street parking. So,
So they have, these two projects kind of, but they flow together.
They flow together, and we think by taking the signal out on 10th, traffic is going to be coming pretty fast from the west. You're going down that hill, and then we're asking to shrink from four lanes to three lanes.
So it seemed a bit counterproductive.
Yep.
And the first issue going into just or talking again back to the signals project, that was tabled in a motion last night to go back to DOT and have additional discussion. Yep. Is that correct?
That's correct. We will, Commissioner Davis said that let's go back to DOT and Federal Highway and let's have a discussion with them. Mm-hmm. We have shared all of those concerns that we just talked about with Federal Highway and DOT and still got back the answer of, nope, this is what the rules say. Okay. If you want the money to replace those four signals that are warranted, you need to get rid of the two that aren't warranted. And there's really no choice, but maybe with additional conversation with Federal Highway and DOT, we can convince them that the 10th Avenue one is our primary concern.
Mm-hmm. And the concern is that does the tabling of that particular project with DOT jeopardize the Main Street urban grant program? And they were careful to make sure that they verbalized that and said, we don't want to jeopardize this because we want to move forward with the second project.
Yep, there are two projects, but like we said, they're kind of intertwined. Yeah. And the idea would be if we can't synchronize the signals and do a good job on replacing the signal lights, then shrinking from four lanes to three lanes becomes a little more problematic.
Yeah.
So they are tied together, but they're two separate.
And the Main Street project will reduce Main Street down to three lanes and add parking on the south side and create some bump outs, some curb extensions, and some aesthetic improvements to Main.
Amenities and aesthetics and pedestrian safe zones.
Nice.
And so again, in this project, skinnying down Main Street would occur 6th Avenue Northwest through Collins and 1st Avenue Northeast. So in that area, it's not the entire Main Street. So I want to make sure that folks are, and it would be a permanent change. I mean, as much as permanent can be nowadays, maybe 30 years, they'll come along and say, well, that didn't work. You know, part of that is one of the pop-up projects we have going is the bump outs on one of the intersections on Main is to try and see what people's reaction to that is. That pop-up project has been reasonably favorable.
Well, let's move on. We know that Main Street got its approval last night for that urban grant program. And then just as a reminder, and we got to wrap up in a second, but that demonstration project is still going on in downtown Mena. This is a temporary project. You mentioned the bump outs. That's getting some comments, but there's the mini roundabouts that seem to be also generating
mini
a lot
roundabouts
of
have,
comments as well.
It's interesting that you, I guess if we want to get the public's reaction, we talk about garbage. Mm-hmm. We talk about animals and we talk about mini roundabouts because those they have really generated a lot of discussion. The mini roundabouts will be coming down this week.
Okay.
So we figure that is a 4-week or 3-week, 4-week test period.
Okay.
And therefore our folks will be in the process of removing them.
So just a reminder, we are recording the program here on August 8th. It's Wednesday, August 8th.
Yep.
The roundabouts are coming down and the curb extension, essentially.
Yep, roundabouts first, and I think that'll be August 9th and 10th.
In the next few days. So if you still have comments you want to make about that demonstration project, get on the cityofmandan.com. We didn't talk about
the big thing last night
was the 2019 budget was submitted by Finance Director Greg Welch.
Yep.
He always does such a nice job, packaged it up. Up on your screen right now is just the cover page of his presentation to the board, which is, again, on your website at cityofmandan.com. Walk through this. This is the proposed budget for 2019. This encompasses everything the city is going to be revenue and expenses for the coming year. Right. There will be a final hearing on September 18th. So this was just an introduction.
This is the introduction call for a public hearing.
Okay.
The big, you know, if you, Greg does a great job of making this understandable for folks. A lot of charts and graphs.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, you know, if you, from the city's standpoint, it's important to note that a lot of people think when they pay their tax bill to the city of Mandan, the city gets all that money. We don't. We get roughly 23-24 cents of that dollar. The rest goes to school district, parks and rec, and the county.
Mm-hmm.
But for the city's part, if you have a $250,000 home, there is no valuation increase. You would see a $23 decrease in the amount of property taxes you pay to the city of Mandan. If you had a $250,000 home with a 5% valuation increase, you would pay $12 more, or $1 a month.
Okay.
So that's at the end of the lane, that's where it is, and there'd be some increase in your utility bill due to water charges for the 30-inch water main replacement, transmission line replacement, and also an increase in our contracts with Armstrong Sanitation for garbage pickup and recycling.
The other thing I thought was interesting that I noted in a news release that was sent out after your meeting was that a new state requirement will be that the county auditor's office will send out a statement to every property owner in the city, and this will be obviously Bismarck and Mandan, that will outline all the changes for 2019 in your taxes, and it will separate out the counties, the school, park, and city portions of that. What difference will be in your 2019 property taxes?
All the entities are required to get that information to the county auditor by August 10th. And then the county auditor has until August 31st, I believe, to get notices out. Again, every property owner will receive that notice that will say, here are the proposed changes in the property taxes that you pay to all the entities, schools, parks, city, county. And also it will list the public hearing dates for all of those entities.
And again, the city of Mandan is September
18th at 6 p.m.
In the meantime, again, you can get on the website and look at the budget and walk through it. If you have any questions,
give us a call.
Yep. Call
the
office.
Send us an email and we will respond to that.
The only thing left on my notes is to talk about the Wild West Grill Fest.
Yes.
Again, we're recording this on Wednesday, August 8th. Grill Fest coming up on Saturday,
August 18th, I believe.
Yes, so, not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday. So,
for a schedule of events, go to the Mandan Progress Organization's website, and you will find
schedule
the great list of sponsors on there and the schedule of activities.
Food all day Saturday, pretty much. Go out to Dykstra Park.
Yep, right as downtown. Del Wetch would tell you, you've got three ingredients to a great outdoor summer. You've got beverages, you've got food, and you've got music.
Yeah.
And they're all three of those are combined.
It'll be a day down there.
Yep.
Thanks, Jim.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming again and informing us of what's going on in Mandan, and we'll see you in a couple weeks again.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for coming, and thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
And stay cool.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.